In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Every flower gardener knows that we have need of things that serve no other purpose than to be beautiful. After all that was done 21 years ago to restore this magnificent church of ours, it is hard to imagine how we could not also make an effort to have beautiful gardens around it, inviting all to come inside and see. Our modern utilitarian world, and cynics in times past, could easily look at all this and say, why? Why all this splendor? Indeed, that is the famous definition of a cynic, someone who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. One such cynic, who had indeed far more treacherous intents, was someone who said, why all this waste? This money could have been used more productively. It could have been used to help the poor. Far be it from any of us to hold this opinion, for I'm sure you know which of the 12 apostles said that. To any who would question the value of the work that was done so generously here at St. Mary's 21 years ago, our Lord's response surely applies. Why do you rebuke? These people have done a good thing for me. For the poor you have always with you, but me you have not always. The restoration of this beautiful church manifests belief in a fundamental truth of our faith, one in which is expressed today in the preface of the Mass, reminding us that all knowledge for us poor, frail human beings comes through our five senses, and that it is through our consideration of visible realities that we are led to adore the invisible. Ideas have consequences, and this building is here because of an idea, a truth, an article of our divine faith. This place is beautiful because God dwells here. Good King David exclaimed 1,000 years before the coming of our Savior, how can I live in a royal palace while my God dwells in a tent? I will not give sleep to mine eyes until I have found a place for the Lord, a true dwelling for the God of Jacob. But in that temple of the Old Testament, God dwelt only spiritually. Even so, it was magnificently adorned. If Mary Magdalene did a good and beautiful thing for our Savior because he was physically present 2,000 years ago, how much more should we do something truly glorious to acknowledge the truth that he is with us all days, even unto the consummation of the world? A month ago, our children here made their first Holy Communion. They professed their belief that the Holy Eucharist is one of the seven sacraments instituted by Christ, and that Christ is really present in this sacrament, body, blood, soul, and divinity. They also learned that the Holy Eucharist is not only a sacrament, it is also a sacrifice. It is a sacrament inasmuch as it is received by men, which is why it goes by the name of Holy Communion, or, when it is not your first Holy Communion, but your last, Holy Viaticum, that is, your sacred bread for the journey to the world to come. It is also called the Blessed Sacrament, especially because of what we do today, enduring the entire mystery of this sacrament, that it is both sacrament and sacrifice. And that is why our Lord is carried about in solemn processions, as we will do today. The Eucharist is sacrifice, not because it is received by men, but because it is offered to God. It is a sacrament because of what it is, a visible sign instituted by Christ to give grace. It is a sacrifice because of who it is, Jesus Christ, true God and true man, body, blood, soul, and divinity. How is the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist a sacrifice? We will never fully grasp this sublime mystery here below, but some words may help us to adore it. In the Blessed Eucharist, under the appearances of bread and wine, Christ is always present in his current state. When he first consecrated the Eucharist on Holy Thursday, he was in a state of frail flesh, about to be handed over to sinners to be crucified. On Good Friday, he was truly dead. His soul was separated from his body. The apostles did not celebrate Mass that day, and the Church has never done so, all down through the ages. From Easter Sunday onward, however, our Lord was in a state of glory. Nevermore could he suffer and die. And so from now until the end of time, whenever Mass is celebrated, what takes place is not some new sacrifice, different from the sacrifice of the cross. Christ is not dying again, as though his death 2,000 years ago were not sufficient for our salvation. But neither does he come in glory when the priest pronounces the words of consecration. That coming is reserved for the end of time. No, Christ comes down among us in his glorified body, but humbled and hidden in the state of death. For the double consecration of the bread and wine signifies the separation of Christ's body and blood on Calvary. As St. Gregory Nazianzen teaches, in the Eucharist, the priest sunders with unbloody cut the body and blood of the Lord, using his voice as a sword. The sacrifice of the Mass is the sacrifice of the cross, made present for us here and now. Most of you will never have leisure to read through all the magnificent articles of the Summa Theologica of St. Thomas Aquinas, and so to absorb his entire treatise on the Eucharist. But we should all take time during this octave of Corpus Christi to meditate on the words of the sequence of the Mass, which you have just heard, and which was composed by St. Thomas Aquinas some 800 years ago. At the very least, we can all take time during our moments of adoration to kneel before the Blessed Sacrament and pray the words of this sequence, which we have placed today in the bulletin. For these words express all of those sublime teachings expressed in so many pages of the Summa on the Blessed Eucharist. The Holy Eucharist as sacrament, as sacrifice, as prefigured by the sacrifices of the Old Testament, in which Christ is contained, whole and entire, body and blood, soul and divinity, in the whole of the Eucharist and in the tiniest of particles. O bone pasto panis vere, true shepherd, true bread, have mercy on us, O Jesus. Feed us, defend us, and lead us to where true joys await us in the land of the living. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.